Thank you so much. I love it. I love it when you clap for me before I do it. Then we got that behind us, and I'll think of it when you don't do it after. I want to speak to us today for the next allotted time. Would you say three hours? On this subject, things are different now. Marley, you're hearing from God. He said things got to be different in school. Things are different now. Things are very different now. Unfortunately, whenever you talk to one another, when we speak with one another, we kind of say, yeah, I guess they are, aren't they? It's awful. It's just awful out there. It is awful in some ways, and it is awful if you see it as awful. The same scripture that says things will get worse and worse says, and the righteous will become more righteous still. That's a progression. When the righteous don't get more righteous still, they focus on he that is evil, let him be more evil yet. And if you're looking for evil, like Pastor Bob alluded to, by the way, he did real good not crying. I really like it when he cries, though. It's kind of tender to see a guy cry. I had four brothers, and they didn't do a lot of crying because if they cried, my mother would say, big men don't cry. And so they'd have to suck it up, you know. I like it when men cry, and especially when men cry in worship, in tenderness. And women, you ought to be proud of your man if he cries. Make him cry. Slap him upside down. There are two scriptures in the same book that have been somewhat confusing to some people and to me before I was perfected. Isaiah 43:18 and Isaiah 46:9. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, you need to know that now, because we're being faced with people who say, well, I believe, just like you believe, I believe in my God, and I think if you believe with all your heart that you have to go to heaven. I don't see that in the Word. You can believe a lie with all your heart, and it's still a lie. And God says here, I want you to remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there's just none else. I am God. Years ago, I was reading through the Bible, as I tend to do and like to do each year. And I came across that those places in Ezekiel just kept saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. And I said to the Lord, why do you keep saying, I am the Lord thy God? And he said, add these four words, and ye are not. Well, that cleared that up, yeah. Every time I see, I am the Lord thy God, I know the rest of that. How many times have you found yourself seated on the throne and not on his lap, but having pushed him off, you replaced him. And the frustration of that is your power is not working. There's no place to go except on your face. I'm the Lord thy God. The message says this. Think about this. Wrap your minds around it. This is serious business, rebels. Take it to heart. Remember your history, your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending would be. Now, some of you may be saying, not my history, but you don't know my folks. You don't know what I came out of. You came out of the womb. Now you got that cleared up. But if your mom and dad didn't pray for you, did you have a grandmother who did? I don't think so. My grandmother, blah, 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 blah. How about a great, I'm trying to tell you, somebody prayed you in. Somebody somewhere said, I bring the family mountain to you, Lord, and I claim everyone on it. He says, God says, I'm not only the one that told you the beginning. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He said, I not only told you the beginning, but I also told you what the ending would be. Don't you ever try to talk me out of the ending. I grew up singing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And I don't care any of the new things that you have, that things are just going to get better here, or he's going to come here and make it better. It'll be heaven to me. Where Jesus is heaven to me. Don't lose sight of the promise that is yours, the eternal life that Jesus paid his life to give us. We still have that glorious hope. Hello? Am I preaching erroneous doctrine? Hey, pastor's gone. All along, letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you, you'll never let go, you'll never let go. I had to count it to know that it was after the fifth time that he said, of my hand. Because I kept saying, of my hand, of my hand. Did you ever do that? You'll never let go, you'll never let go, of my hand. And everybody else is saying, never let go, never let go. So I counted it. You got to go five before you do of my hand. All along letting you know what is going to happen. Assuring you. Now here's God. I like these words from the message. God says, I'm in this for the long haul. You think you're trying it out? I remember in the charismatic days, 100 years ago, we had little badges, little pins, and it says, try Jesus. Try Jesus. Some of you were there. You didn't try Jesus. Try Jesus. You put him on like a pair of shoes? Or you going to check it out like, hey, if it works, you got me. Now, the Bible says that heaven rejoices over just one soul. And angels shout, yay, somebody met the Lord. And when it was you, they did. They shouted. When it was me, they didn't shout. They said, you're giving her eternal life and all those gifts. And you're going to bless her and use her and give her the hope for eternity. And what do you get for it? Her? This is all I can bring. And I think the Lord's saying, oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And the angels are saying, you have to be kidding. I'm your God, assuring you, and I'm in it for the long haul, and I'll do exactly what I've set out to do. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? God is going to do exactly what he set out to do. Well, certainly God can't be in what's happening today. He sits in his heavens and laughs at the plan of the enemy. He says, if you only knew what your end is and what I'm going to do, you make fun of my people, you take their privileges away, he's saying to the enemy, you think you have won this battle? This is all in my plan. I want you to do this. I want you to do what you're doing. Go ahead and do it. Because my people are going to realize greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Calling that eagle Cyrus out of the east from a far country, that man I chose to help me. Now, I'm not going to get political. I'm just smiling. That's all. I said nothing. But you can think about that if you would, before you put the X. Anyway, I've said it, and I'll most certainly do it. Now, then why should we pray? If God's got it all planned and he's going to do it anyway, why should we be out there by the thousands like we are and praying, oh, God, save America. God, save this country. Save that. Oh, God, please, in judgment, remember mercy. Lord, please, because he told us to. And because we don't know what his plan is. And I want to be ready. I used to say, if God never answered a prayer I prayed, I would still pray because of the value that I get out of praying. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known, the songwriter says. Yes, if you're not a prayer, you don't know that joy at all. If you're not a prayer, I promise you're a worrier. The benefit of prayer is joy, peace, satisfaction, knowing him in ways you never would, plus he answers. The benefit of worry is ulcers, stress tests. I've said it, and I'll most certainly do it. I've planned it, so it's as good as done. Now, I hope that I don't just beat you up, and I will beat you up, but I hope that you get more than being beaten. I hope that today you will see that God himself has come on today's scene, and he's saying to his people, yes, things are different out there, but I am not. Everything I've ever been and will be remains. I am the Lord thy God that led thee. And he goes through his testimony. He says, you want to go back to the law? Go back to Moses. I led you through all the wilderness. Go back to the promised land. I led them on through. We had a little problem with a few stubborn ones, but hey, we got there. Why do we panic every time we dash our foot against a stone? Well, I just failed the Lord. I tell you, I just can't live this life. Well, that is the best discovery you've ever made. Once you get there, you're on your way. You can't live this life. You can't live a Christian life. I've never met anyone strong enough to live a Christian life without the Christ. Oh, is that what you meant? Yeah, that's what I mean. You need to know whom you have believed and be persuaded that he's able to keep you from stumbling. There may be a few ruts on the way, We trip up a little bit, but there's always a good usher to catch you. Understand with me today that it is a new moment of opportunity for the people of God. Well, that didn't get through, so I'm going to say it again. This is an absolute new moment of opportunity for the people of God. Thank you. We have been going round and round the religious circles for so long, doing the same thing we've always done, and our fathers did it, and it was good for our fathers, it was good for our mothers, and it's good enough for me. It's that old-time religion. So maybe we ought to bury some things that are old. I honestly, this is absolutely before God the truth. This very week, I was talking to a man about church, and did he go to church? And he said, yes, I've been to many different churches all my life. He said, I'm about to leave the one I'm at, too. But he said, when they started bringing drums in the church, and I just grinned inside and out. Man, I know what you mean. I said, you would hate my church. And he said, I would? I said, oh, yeah, drums, hey, that's the mild part of it. That our pastors wear jeans and torn things and change their hairdos. And I said, look at mine. My mother would have, whoa. Why, church, why? Because we became so comfortable doing what we knew to do, we didn't have to check in for any new orders ever. It's like we say, I've got this. I know how to do it. I know how to clap. I know how to sing. I know how to dance. Everyone knows how to dance. I remember. My feet don't. Sister Ruth is the only one that dances the way Sister Ruth dances. I mean it, she is the only one. There's no other dancer in the world that dances like Sister Ruth. I've seen lots of them try, and I've seen lots of them go forward. But she has a grace that every time she lifts up a foot, the other foot is full of grace. She dances grace. Not gracefully, it's grace. It's absolutely spiritual. It's a spiritual dance. And then when she puts her little fist down on either side, I just see hell quiver. Oh no, she's up again. Jesus spent a great deal of time talking to his disciples. Now, remember this. He came into the world, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. But Jesus came knowing what his assignment was. He knew. I don't know at what point. Was it when he was 12, or did he know it in the womb, or did he know it after that? I don't know. I'll argue with anyone. I don't know when he knew that he was the Son of the living God, and that his whole mission was to reveal God to the people. I don't know at what point, and neither do you, so forget it. But I do know that he knew it, and I do know that he spent 30 years not doing it. It's interesting, some of these people that go to school, not your school, but other churches, and as soon as they go to Bible training, they become experts. They're not just reverend. They're bishop and apostles and thinking of writing a new one. Why do we feel our spiritual worth is weighed by our ministry? It isn't in God's sight. It isn't in God's sight. Mine might be, because that's my call, that's my assignment. Not whether I'm preaching or not, but he expects more of his leaders, his teachers, than he did others. And he told us so in the Word. Woe unto you that are teachers, you better live it if you're going to speak it. So Jesus had 12 disciples. I wouldn't have called them. I would not have chosen those. There were astute, moneyed, educated people out there. He could have called to himself. But then we never would have gotten in. And he called these dumb heads. And he just started, you're going to have that baby today? My God. And it's okay. I had two. He said, you have to learn everything about the kingdom. Now, almost all of you know my age, and you know that I grew up in a pastor's home. So you can kind of go backwards and figure in Pentecost how much I knew or what kinds of things I knew. I knew about getting saved or going to hell. I knew about being filled with the Holy Spirit because I was pleased to be in that environment. I knew about praying and I knew about witnessing. But I didn't know anything about the kingdom of God. That was the Jehovah's Witnesses down the way, Kingdom Hall. And nobody in my circle used it. The kingdom? What do you mean by you're a kingdom church? I don't know, that's just what they say. And that's about the way the disciples were. They didn't know. We know about the scribes, and we go and listen to the readings on the Sabbath, but we don't. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you about it. And he started telling little stories. We call them parables. He said, you know, it's like, and then he'd tell a story and he'd say, that's the way the kingdom of heaven. And then he'd tell another little story and he'd say, that's like the kingdom of heaven. Excuse me, I've got to choke. And we read those in Matthew, and we still fight over them, the parables. What did that one mean, and what did that one mean, and what did the other mean? And someone gets a revelation, and they teach on those, and they're deeper than someone else. And what that usually means is, if I say he's a deep teacher, I usually mean I didn't understand a thing he said. So Jesus looked at his disciples who were listening intently and hanging on every word because he was Jesus and he called them, and so they're listening. And he said to them, did you understand all that? Did you understand the things I just said? And they did the same thing we do. Yes, Lord. I have heard comments from people, again, from other churches, say, I wish our pastor would say something else. He says the same thing over and over. That isn't a critique on the pastor. That's a critique on you. You, once you get it, you will see the Lord bring out of that same vessel something you weren't hearing because you were so busy judging. I already know that. Jesus said, Have you understood all these things? They said unto him, Yes, Lord. He says, Okay, then we won't repeat them. Therefore, whenever you see it, you need to find out what that word is there for. Therefore, every scribe, that's the word scribe means someone who writes down or shares the truth that they have perceived themselves. It isn't just the scribes and Pharisees, all right? Therefore, every scribe who is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, you don't have much to bring if you're just transferring knowledge from someone else's head to yours to me. You can go online and get it. Google, learn Google. Google's a magic button. Google knows everything. Who is God? Google. Some folks say that God is. You don't need preachers to be cute or clever or wonderful like I am. And no, you just, thank you for laughing, because otherwise, I know. All right. You need to hear from people who have experienced what they heard and saw. Paul said, the things you see and hear in me, do. And you should be able to tell the difference. I don't know. Pastor, I just wonder sometimes at the immaturity of the church. Here we've been doing this thing for years and going, and we know used to be three songs and then prayer and then testimonies, which went something like this. I thank the Lord for saving me and keeping me. Pray I'll go all the way with him. And then we'd take the offering, and then Dad would preach. And if he went 5 minutes over, people would start leaving. And then we would go home. And we did that every Sunday, every week. Sunday morning, we didn't have two services. You didn't need them when you got 30 people. And then we'd go back Sunday night, same people, same songs. Nothing changed. No life. There was no life in the morning. You sure don't expect them to get up at night. But we would sing and we would clap. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And now I'm happy every day. Hallelujah. We weren't. We're just saying, yes, Lord. We were not happy until the Holy Spirit showed up. And when he came, woo-hoo! And that was powerful to those who received. And it split the church to those who wouldn't. I just don't believe in all that gibberish. We've had all our life, I don't see that Shunda Mackay stuff. If you're going to say something, put it on paper so I can read it. Now I know you're laughing and I understand that, but here's what's tragic. It hasn't changed. We still don't want anything new. Oh, come on. A few weeks ago, a man from Australia came and prayed for people, and they weren't real accustomed to the power of God, and so they were just slain. Just, this is great. Down they went, and the line got bigger. People didn't come for prayer first. They came to get knocked, whatever. Now, I believe in being slain in the spirit. If you're in touch with a power of God that is beyond anything you've known and your body can't handle it, yeah, go down and thank God that you've experienced the power of God. I believe that. But I don't believe in getting ready to fall on your face just because somebody's going to lay hands on you. Come on. When Daniel went down, when God spoke to Daniel, he was so overwhelmed, he just caved in. And the next thing you read is, stand on your feet, Daniel, and I'll talk to you like a man. I've got some things to say to you. I've watched people, I've prayed for people, I've prayed for thousands of people who have been slain in the spirit. And God gives you a word for them, they don't hear it. They shunned a Micaiah all the way through it. The Lord would like to say to you, what did he say? Honest, I'm telling you the truth. I've had people ask me after the service, what did God say to me through you? You don't want to do that to me. Yes, it's a new day. And yes, we have to change from the old ways, but we don't have to make it be what we think it ought to be. I just want, we want revival like they had back in this place and that place, and we want it to be just like it was in that place, and we're praying for that. We're asking God, God, do it exactly. Oh, I had in mind another way. My way will work. Your way won't. They're not getting that. You want to repeat? You want to go back to the first day of Pentecost? They're trying today. They're trying to go by all the different things. I want it to happen just like it did for Bill and all you guys. You know how great that was. Yes, it was great. It was for them. And it was for them. But I don't expect them to want the same thing they had 2 years ago. It's a new day and they know some things. And I expect out of your storehouse, you to bring some things that are needed today. I don't want to repeat messages to you that I preached 35, 40, 50, yes, 60. All right, 60 years ago. I want to give you something fresh. I want to tell you about the spanking God gave me last night. I want to tell you about the joy today. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. He says, you say you understand all this. Then you ought to be like a good householder who brings forth fruits of last year's growth. That last revival. I wouldn't take anything for some of the memories I have. I wouldn't take anything for some of the memories that I have. Things God did way beyond my expectation. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not satisfied with that, and I don't want them back. I don't want those days back. It's a new day. It's a whole new... When you grow up in the church, you have that vocabulary. I start to say it's a whole new congregation out there. And by faith, it is. It's a whole new society out there. And you can't talk to them like they were uneducated people like we did back then. They get it first time you say it. They either reject it or they eat it, and that's that. We can't handle that. We want to hammer it. Did you get that? Did you understand that? It was one of my mothers. Are you listening to me? I think, are you kidding? Even heaven is tuned in. But I want the new and the old. It isn't a matter of, it's this but not that. Because this and not that will form a new denomination. That without this will be circling the same old. that make sense to you? But that we had, and this that we have and is coming, is going to bring a revolution to the church. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if I'm not here to say neener, neener, you know I'll be up there saying it. It's going to be so God. It's going to be so God, you won't be able to deny it. You might run from it. You might run from it. I'm out of here. I don't want any more of this. Oh, we're out of here. I mean, pastor going to the Catholics and taking his picture with them. Wow. Mary must have pulled him down. Give her a hug when you get there, will you? The other verse says, remember. One says, remember not. One says, remember the former things. Now, which is it? Remember not or remember? The answer to that is yes. And I believe that the fact that the word says remember and then it says remember not, that God created us with the capacity to do both. I just can't forget what was done. Yes, you can. Because you were made in the likeness and image of God. If he can forget, you can forget. Well, if I can't help it if I just keep remembering it. Yep, the second you remember something you're not supposed to be, you have the capacity to turn it off and it's gone. Yeah, but it always comes back and turn it off again. Turn it off again and again and again and again until the enemy says, no need bothering them. They're not going to spend any time on it. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. I'm going to do something new. Will you not be aware of it? Does he know people or not? Will you not be aware of it? He's asking him, if I do something new among you, will you be aware of it, that it's me? Will you recognize that it's me? Well, it depends on what it is. If they put red carpet on that platform, I'm out of here. If they start having march around, I'm out of here. If they anything, you don't have a right. I am God and ye are not. If it's God is the only thing I want to know in anything I see or hear. I pray constantly, God, give me the spirit of discernment that I may know. And when I see things that are not God, my next questions are, is it the devil or is it flesh? If it's the devil, I want him out of here and I want him out of here now. And you do that very well. But if it's flesh, I want him controlled. Sit down. And shut up. You don't need to prophesy while the pastor's speaking. You don't have a better voice than the one who's in charge. Don't try to show it off. See, we're crazy. We want to grow up, but be babies. We want to have God to move, but we want it our way. And we don't want anything new because it might be bad. What are you afraid of? I won't let go of your hand. 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 I won't let go of you ever. What are you afraid of? Fear not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. All through Scripture, 300 and almost 400 times, truly, it says, fear not. Yeah. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Why does he keep saying that? Because we keep fearing. Oh, the devil's going to get me. I tell you, the devil's been after me all week long. Really? And where were you? And what were you doing? Well, I was praying. Really? And the devil was there? He hates prayer. That's the best way to get rid of him. Start worshiping the Lord. He splits. Remember the old coffee and Postum ads? No, too old. When we start to realize whose we are and what he's done, think of all the ways the Lord has led you. Think of the way he led the children of Israel. Think of this, think of that. That's what he says. And then he says, remember not the former things, those other former things. Remember not your own sins against you. How stupid. I paid my blood to get rid of your sins. And all you do is bring it up all the time. Every time you pray, you bring it up again. God says, I'm tired hearing it. I washed it away. It isn't. There's no record in heaven of it. It is passé. Get over it. We speak of this generation as being, what is the word we say? They're entitled. They feel that we owe them everything. And lots of parents would raise your hands and say, yeah. Not you, boy. Robert, she's raised you tough. Man, you're working now, right? You have a full-time job. How old are you? 10? 10 years old, and you're working a full-time job? I'm going to turn her in. And she's always raised him that way. Learn this verse. Do this thing. You'll never be sorry you had that kind of mom, grandma. Never. My mother was so strict, and so was my dad when mother told him to be. And yet I'm thankful today. I'm really thankful that I have that background. I'm thankful I don't live in it now. I'm thankful that I found a God who just loved me no matter what. And I could thank him all the time without having to go to confession. But anyway. I want to be open to everything new God does. But I want to be so discerning that I'm not fooled by a loud voice and calling it anointed. There was a comedian some time back, way back, and he would do Mary Had a Little Lamb like a preacher. Mary had a little lamb. It's fleece. Or white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. I could make an altar call and some of you'd come right now. Learn to be discerning. Ask the Holy Spirit. Is this you, Holy Spirit? If it is, I embrace it until I understand it. God does a new thing in order to prove and produce new things for our praise to him. Didn't you ever want to say more than you do? And they say, let's just praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Bless you, God. Thank you for salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and keeping me. And we're just kind of out of it. I want to say more. The Holy Spirit in me, the Spirit of me wants to say more. God, you're so I don't know, you're wonderful. And I think of Song of Solomon when the little Shulamite got lost and the daughters of Jerusalem came over and found her and said, who are you looking for? In the middle of the night. And she said, my love. I've lost my love. And they said, well, in essence, hey, there's lots of good fish in the sea. I mean, it isn't worded like that, but they said, well, who is your lover more than anyone else? And she thought a minute, how do I say this to them? My heart is full of love, and I know who he is and what he's done for me, but how do I make it known? And she said, he is altogether lovely. Oh, church, if we'd stop preaching hell and start preaching the loveliness of Jesus. Oh, how he loved you and me. I am your complete deliverer, making a way for you where there was no way. I come in my holiness to make you whole. Well, I don't see how God's going to. I know he can do all things, but really. And so your faith is stilted because you can't figure out how he can do it? He won't do it the same way the second time. Look at the different methods he used for healing. We tried to copy them and say the same words, no healing. Come on. But when the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to heal that person. When the Holy Spirit rises up in you, it doesn't matter if you're saying the same words that were said 2,000 years ago or a brand new thought. It doesn't matter because it's him. But you won't make anything happen by repetition of something he said. The woman that came to Jesus when he was eating and said, oh, my daughter's grievously vexed of a devil. Will you please come and heal her? And he looked at her and he saw she was a Gentile. And he thought, I'll check her faith. And he said, I didn't come but for the house of Israel. How would you feel? Is he saying you're not worthy of what you're asking for? And she said, I know, Lord. But even the dogs, which was a nickname they called the Gentile, even the dogs get the crumbs. Oh, what an attitude. Oh, that God would give us that attitude. Instead of I earned this, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him sweetly say to me, I left a throne in glory and counted it but loss. My feet were nailed in anguish upon a cruel cross. Don't tell me what you've sacrificed. Great is your faith, he said to her, and she went her way healed. So what will you take away from the table today? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the answer. That's right. God is and he can and he whatever he says he will do, and he'll do it his way in his time. Oh, no. Oh, no, not in his time. That I hate that. I hate wait. I hear me pray, and when I finish my prayer, I say, Lord, do this, and please do it now. Do it in my kids, and do it today. Give me this, Lord. I want that Ferrari, and I want it now. My faith reaches. I have faith for it. I want white. I have faith. You don't have faith, you have lust. Get rid of it and drive your Ford. I'm going to do what I set out to do, and here's what he said. Everyone I give treasure to, I give uniquely to them for the purpose of sharing it. That's the whole purpose of money. Did you know that? The whole purpose of money is flow, F-L-O-W. Keep it going. Not today. We're talking. Everything you read says save it, save it, save it. The devil wants you to save it. Then he can get rid of all of it at once. I don't want to be an entitled person. I don't want to come to the Lord on the merits of my family. My father, my grandfather was a pastor. My father was a pastor. Three of four of my brothers were pastors. And I've, you know what I've given. Oh, God, you know how good I've been. And I don't want to come on that merit because he does know how good I've been. And then he says to me, wait on the Lord. And he will give you desires. Wait on the Lord and he will sustain you. Wait on the Lord and he will uphold you. I love Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I love that. Oh, they're so anointed. And I just love that kind of music anyway. My mother said I probably should have been black. Yeah. Wasn't my fault. And they sing a song that just every time I hear it, it blesses me. Waiting on you, I'm waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. I don't worry about the time, for Lord, I seem to find strength, strength, strength while I'm waiting on you. Strength. One of the writers of the Old Testament said, this I know. No, you don't have to do that. Thank you. This I know, by my record. This I know. Strength comes straight from God. No, I don't have a record. Strength, I didn't even when I was young. But as we wait upon they that what? Say it again. Wait upon the Lord will renew your strength. You're going to mount up with wings as eagles. And church, you're going to run. And you're not going to be weary. You're not going to be dragging yourself in and hoping we get through and hope to God she doesn't go over her time. We're going to have strength. And we're going to be waiting on the Lord. And we're going to be testifying to one another and saying, I worship him. I worship him. I worship him. And about the third time you say that, you will grow strangely dim to yourself. And it won't be who you are or what you didn't do. It'll be, I worship him. Or turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth, including you, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Wow, let's remain standing right now. Wow. This is a life-changing moment in many of your experience with the Lord right now.